Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Good morning, James. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to see you, Amy.
I hear you have had quite the party week.
I am. I can't wait to go back to work today to rest. So that's how I feel. I've had my birthday was last Thursday, and in the Kernan family, we celebrate all week long, but we had several friends from out of town come fly in to come stay, and we started on Thursday and had parties on Friday, and then had a big party at the house on Saturday and
the
other day. So I'm exhausted, but I have a big smile on my face. So lucky man.
Was this a big birthday?
It was a big birthday. It was the big 6-0 for me. So,
we call those a friend of mine, and I just recently adopted this because it's such a good thing. She called it the big O birthday.
The big O.
Big O birthday. I have the same big O birthday a couple weeks from now. Oh. I'm trying to keep it low key. I don't know.
that seems more your style. So anyway,
I'm sure
you'll have a blast.
Yeah, I did a bigger blowout for the big 5-0 birthday. This one feels more low key to me. Anyway, I'm glad you had a great time because I had a miserable weekend. I have damaged lungs from having pneumonia 3 times as a kid. So I had to get vaccinations for things that might attack my lungs, like flu. And so I went out and got that vaccine, and holy smokes, I had a major reaction. I was just down and out the next day. And then yesterday, just to make matters worse, after I recovered from that for a day, then I had a big allergy attack yesterday. So you're having all the fun. I'm having all the misery over here.
Hey, you know what? Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it.
The world is still in balance. That's what that means.
that's how I felt last week, because on the holiday week, it was like the raining the whole time here. And I know you had beautiful weather. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
right.
It worked
out. So true. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Let's just get right into our question of the week. It's an age-old question. I feel like we've answered it several times, but people keep asking the question.
Yeah, I love the questions.
And I have a slightly different spin on it now, I think. But okay. The question is, per seat price or per device, which way should we go?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of factors in this. You know, as an industry, we started off when an MSP became a thing, everybody started off in the per device model.
Right.
And then devices sort of proliferated and customers pushed back on that. So we switched to the per seat model. And that's sort of where things stand now, are pretty much mostly per seat. What do you think about that, James?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The little caveat I'd say is the per device. Most people had different prices for different devices. So keep that in mind. I see the overwhelming majority of people try to do a price per seat, but it also depends on other things. You know, it could be an operation where there's 10 people and 200 servers. So you've got to take things into account for those types of things, which is rare. But so I would kind of look at, the cost to support. I'm old fashioned as well. I always like, it keeps it a lot easier for clients to understand if it's a price per seat, but I would create a little mystery around that to say there's other things that would go into it. The size of customer, the sophistication of their network, and then what industry they're in. They might be regulated and they need a lot more security. So I would look at it from that perspective too.
Yeah. And I honestly think this is something that's going to change again in the MSP world, right? Like I mentioned to start, we as an industry, we went from nothing to per device to per seat. And I think we're going to just go all the way and say, here's the price to support your company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an evolution. And I really feel strongly that that's the next evolution in the MSP pricing model. The reason for that is kind of like you said, right? Business owners don't see their world. You have to think of it from their perspective. They don't see this really as a, what does it cost me to support this device? They do see it somewhat as what does technology cost me for the people I have?
Yeah.
But that, even that doesn't truly match the way that they think of technology. They're thinking it from the whole corporate point of view, right? What are my IT costs, right? Period. No per seat, no per device. What are my IT costs? So if you can match their expectations for how they view the world with your pricing scheme, that's a really good sales technique. You've reduced that friction in their head of they're trying to make a translation between what you said and how they view their own business.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Let me ask you another question related to this topic, because I agree with what you just said. I think part two of the question might be, you know, part one is, you know, price per seat or price per device. And then part two of it is, you know, do you have one plan or three plans, you know, or one plan or more than one plan? And what do you have a one size fits all or do you recommend options?
I'm a big fan of the one plan for everybody. We do one thing. We take care of your technology environment.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, you know, this is the case for everything in the world, isn't it? I want everybody on one plan, but there's going to be exceptions.
Right.
because of special customers that have those 200 servers that you mentioned, or you know, they've got virtualization in the play, whereas majority of customers are all cloud at this point, you know, or all SaaS. So you can tweak it a little, but I would still go forward into the market with that single plan. And then just know that there may be occasional, I wouldn't do it a lot, but occasionally we might have to modify that plan to get a specific client.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an observation of mine. Most highly technical people like you like the one plan because I think it's easier to support and it's, this is everything you should have. And I see more and more people going that direction, at least with their core security, you know, that here's what you have to have no matter what, or we just won't even work with you. And then from my perspective, growing up in the industry, I liked giving customers options, you know, because I'm a salesperson. So it's a lot easier to sell options and then right size and then upgrade later. That was always my philosophy, but I was always part of big high growth organizations. We always grew 30% or greater every single year in my sales career. So it was, you know, being able to obtain net new logos and being flexible was always really important for me and my teams. But there's an argument, I think, for both. So I think my answer would be, I like having a couple options for people, kind of a good, better, best thought. So,
yeah, from an operations point of view, it is really hard to separate that though.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
So just know that if you're selling your three different plans, they better be really, really distinct. Mm-hmm. So otherwise your staff, your technical staff, they're going to treat all your customers alike because they don't have in their head, oh, this client has a contract like this, so I can only do this type of work for them. It doesn't work for the tech staff.
Right.
Unless there's a very clear delineation between, you know, maybe specific packages that get added, and then you have staff that is dedicated to that package. that could work. But yeah, there's a real danger of selling a plan, and then your staff just treats everybody the same way anyhow.
Yeah.
So watch out for that pitfall there.
Yeah. Yep.
But I hear you. I know salespeople like to have options. You always got to, you know, work around those objections, and having the options is sometimes the way to do that.
Yeah. That's how I always love to sell, with options, and then box them in, and then, you know, then close the deal. So
yeah.
Hey, question.
Did you hear about what's going on in crypto?
Yeah, it, and it's becoming more and more popular from a currency standpoint across the board. But I know you had run across an interesting article this morning. What was the takeaway that you had on that?
Well, there are a bunch of new companies have formed whose specific goal is to hoard crypto, buy huge amounts, billions of dollars worth, and just hold it.
Yep.
And they're doing that as some kind of hedge, right? So they're getting into that market. It's particularly affecting Bitcoin, of course, but Solana and Ethereum are also in the mix, and a few others.
Yep.
And this is a huge change for crypto. We didn't used to have these big whale of investment companies coming in and pulling it all up. In fact, so much Ethereum has been pulled up and staked. That's when you agree to hold it for a certain period of time and earn interest on it. Yeah. So much has been staked that it's actually on the verge of potential collapse, because there isn't enough free floating Ethereum out there right now.
Oh, wow.
So,
I thought when you're hedging it, it would potentially add a little stability to things. But are you saying it made it more volatile?
Well, it makes it less functional, right?
Right.
So
I see that.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
Companies need a certain amount of free floating cryptocurrency out there in order to be able to do the transactions.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, it's then more expensive for companies to actually adopt the use of Ethereum. And that's a problem. So, you know, the way crypto works, the way that it has gained its value up until now, is that it gets harder and harder to produce more. And so it does it by the base of shortage. And you would think these hoarding companies are enhancing that shortage, but in such a huge and fast way that it's sort of disrupting the system a bit. Prices are skyrocketing, but we have to watch out about the stability of the cryptocurrency itself.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Interesting.
Yeah, it's something I don't think that really was. It certainly wasn't anticipated when the cryptocurrencies were designed. But I think it's been anticipated in the last couple of years that this is probably the way that this was going to go once the investment firms decided these things were here to stay and a decent investment.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting.
So been a lot of stuff in the news about the economy, and broadly, it hasn't been horrible, but it hasn't been good either. We're seeing a lot of cracks in the veneer as far as hiring, as far as new job creation. Unemployment's up a bit. Just a lot of different signals. The bond market has reached a high. It's over 5% interest rate now, which is, that's recession territory.
Yeah.
What does this mean for MSPs? You and I have a very, very contrarian and similar outlook on this stuff. So kick us off, James.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting times. And, you know, you get mixed signals when you watch different channels for news or read different publications. But it feels like there's at least the last week has been more of a consistent message. You know, the jobs report was down. Unemployment went up a little bit, But what's interesting is I see that as an opportunity for the MSP listeners of ours. Most everybody I work with all have open recs to hire people. So it makes it more favorable. There's more people looking for work. And there's a lot of really good people that I'm seeing that still are employed, that aren't part of that unemployment number in the fours. There's a lot of good people I know looking for a change. Because, you know, there's some companies are reacting favorably to what's going on with the economy and some not so much. So I think all that really means is if you're looking for good people, now's probably one of the best times in years to go out and, you know, place an ad that you're looking, you know, to hire great people. So there's an opportunity there for sure.
Yeah. So if you're employed right now, you can go out and kind of get your pick of the litter of jobs. Cause like you said, there's a little bit of stuff out there. So that's pretty good. But you know, if we are looking toward a recession, then, I always did really well in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by anticipating that what happens during a recession, well, your employees are likely to stick around, right? They'll be less likely to leave you for greener pastures because there aren't greener pastures.
Right.
So you have that. You'll be able to obtain new employees a little bit cheaper than you would have otherwise, and you might get some really good ones, right? If the good person is nervous about how management is handling the company, they may be out looking, so you can snatch up some really good people. I learned from my clients when the economy goes down, it's a very secular, what is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
It comes around again and again, right? This is just right. A thing in business. When it's on the down cycle, this is a fabulous time to invest in your company.
Right.
I would watch my most successful clients, the businesses had been around for 50 plus years, and watch and see what they did. They don't hunker down during a recession. They spend like mad because everything's on sale.
Yeah.
They can invest in new product. They can do R&D. They can get new equipment. They can, you know, do more employee training. They increase their marketing spend. They do all of these things, and then when the recession comes out, they're on the leading edge of the wave, and they get a huge boost coming out the other side.
Yeah,
and they learned that over the years, and they taught me that, and that's how I always viewed these downturns as well. So, you know, it's not happy news in general, but it's not bad news for your business.
Right.
Make the right moves, and you can ride that wave.
Yeah, and the smaller MSPs are at a huge advantage here because it's a lot easier for you to weather the storm. I'm not thoroughly convinced that we're going to hit a full recession, but it's clear with all the consistent news that, you know, the economy is really flattened out. So mm-hmm. It's going to grow a lot slower than what people predicted, what 2025 was supposed to look like. But again, I think there's great opportunities. And as your competition is paralyzing themselves with fear and they're stopping their marketing and stopping hiring, just like Amy said, take advantage of that opportunity, and it's a time to grow. So
yeah.
Yep. Love to hear your thoughts on that. Listeners, of you agree or disagree, or what things you're thinking of doing for the rest of the year, you know, to grow your business.
Yes. So talking about opportunities, Microsoft has offered Microsoft 365 Personal free for a full year for any student at any level.
That's awesome.
So if you're a student, you get some free Microsoft 365 for every year going forward. You get 50% off. Great deal.
Well, with all the licenses I have, I'm going back to school. So I'm trying to get some free licenses.
I don't know if that's going to be a bargain. Have you checked out tuitions lately?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Didn't you just have some kids in college? I think you'd be up on these things.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, I know all too well. I ended up getting big raises when my boys graduated from school. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah,
I do see that happening all the time. It's like all of a sudden we see people taking more vacations and, you know, fixing up their house and stuff. It's like, oh, kid graduated from school. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you a quick funny story. My youngest boy was the one who, you know, he was younger, so he stayed in the house a little longer, graduated from school, and then got his career going. And he probably stayed at home for another 2 years, but we made him pay rent and all the dad things you're supposed to do. Well, he finally left the house, bought his own home, and then he just recently got married. But it was really funny when he first left, he started seeing all these posts of my wife and I going on these more trips, and we would travel more. We'd go out to dinner like all the time.
Yeah.
And big foodies, and we go out and we like live music. And it was a couple months after he had moved out. He said, Dad, listen, I'm just really concerned about you and Mom. You guys really go out. You guys go out too much. You go out too much. And it's like, hey, I'm just celebrating that you're gone now. We're just having fun.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Like, yeah, you can stop celebrating now. It's been a year.
Yeah, that's probably what he was thinking too. But that's funny.
Hey, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't talk about AI. So a couple things we wanted to mention. One is directly applicable to MSPs. There's an article from Business of Tech and talks about how channel partners are not adopting AI
right.
at the same rate, maybe as other firms out there.
Yeah, that you're exactly right. That's interesting. It Channel Futures actually had a survey, and then they interviewed 276 channel partners. And it was interesting. It said only 8% of the partners and 4.7% of their clients had fully integrated AI into their operations. Now, you know, maybe the key term there is fully integrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the statistics were a lot lower than I would have guessed about, you know, implementing and using AI in their business. So maybe there was some confusion there, but that stood out to me. And you know, what was interesting too about that article that really jumped out is almost half, 50% of workers in these businesses admit hiding their AI usage.
Isn't that funny? So only 8% think that they have it integrated into their business, but half of their employees are hiding it from them.
Right, right. And, you know, if it's happening in the channel, it's happening to the end user customers even more so. And so I'm really excited about your AI course that's coming up here next month. And it's a huge opportunity for MSPs because AI could be your secret sauce. It could be your differentiator that you go out and use that as lead magnets to help attract new business to come to you. And then you want to support and protect all the data of these people that are opening holes left and right on their networks. We need to educate end users about that.
Yep, they are opening holes. And one of the things that I teach people how to do is to make those discoveries. Yeah. And we're using the native tools built into 365 to do that. So we've got the native tools out there to discover those. And when you talk about what you found in the networks and what your concerns are for security, now you're tying in AI, your new AI focus, which is giving you authority because customers are looking for direction on AI, and you're tying that in with your security expertise, you are lockstep with exactly what business owners are concerned about today. That is one of the things that we talk about. And when I ran this course in the spring, I only do one class every 2 weeks, and that in between time, people go home with homework. And one of the things was to run this on some of your clients and go talk to them about it. People came back and said, oh, customers had no idea that they had 15, 20, 30 different AI stuff running in their business already.
Right.
And these were, you know, why are they hiding it? Because management's a little bit hostile to AI. There's a lot of concerns around AI. But it's the age-old story for MSPs. If you do not provide a solution for your employees, they will go out and find one. That's never been more true than it is today.
Exactly. Exactly. So what a great opportunity for MSPs to, to be the thought leaders in their local community. And I think just talking about AI in business in general is a great subject to speak about and educate the do's and don'ts, your community leaders. What a great lead magnet.
Yeah, you do have to educate yourself on it. And another article that we wanted to talk about today, guys, is on research that OpenAI did on hallucinations. Right? Hallucinations is when AI gives you the wrong answer, but sounds really confident and authoritative about it.
Right.
But it just goes down some path that if you were an expert in that area, you would know that is just flat out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us aren't experts in the things that we're questioning AI about. That's why we're asking for the question. So the answer sounds really authoritative, but it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And what's happening with these hallucinations, OpenAI's research study found, they looked at models, not just their own, but across the AI world, and found that AIs are being incentivized for sounding authoritative, mm-hmm. or giving that authoritative answer, even when it doesn't have any basis in reality.
Oh.
Yeah, just be that person that sounds really confident, even if it's gibberish, right?
Right.
There's some kind of reward system, and I don't pretend to know how these LLMs work, but some sort of reward system that rewards them for sounding authoritative rather than rewarding them for having backing and outside authorities for what it is that they're saying. So there's a weighting problem inside the model. Hopefully that means that it's a big, long research study. I didn't provide the link to the big research study because it's like 300 pages and complex, blah, 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 blah. But there's a little great summary article that we did provide. So learn up on that. And, just talking about making yourself better able to provide this kind of guidance to businesses. So, you can now read this little article, then talk to your clients about AI. And when you're talking to them about AI, mention the hallucination problem as being an issue, right? Employees might grab something and say, oh, well, I asked Grok and this is what it said, or I asked Gemini and this is what it said. It's like, yeah, it doesn't make it right.
Yeah, exactly. And, I've always lived when you're out looking for information and you get it from a credible source or an uncredible source or ChatGPT, trust but verify. I trust that it's good info. It sounds like this is the right answer, but do some more research, especially before you use it as a thought leader and present it by all means.
Yeah.
But verify that it's the right information and the right answer that is truthful. That's really important.
Yeah. I always like to click on the sources and then, read the articles and the source for that information that it provided, see where it got it from.
Right.
I think it was it last time or 2 weeks ago, we talked about that, the number one place for AIs to list as a source is Reddit. And I don't necessarily trust what's being said in Reddit, right? That's not, to me, that's not an authoritative source. So watch your sources in AI. And that's another thing that you can talk to your clients about too. That's a training issue for their employees that you can help them address.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, James, first let me since you plugged my class, let me just tell everybody, head over to thirdtier.net to get signed up for that class. It's going to start in October, so just a little over a month away.
Yep, looking forward to that. That's exciting. We'll get the word out. Get the word out. So anything coming up for you this month?
This month I'm getting ready for my class, updating the material from what I did in the spring, making sure that we've got the latest, greatest stuff on AI in there. I'm also putting together some courses that I'm going to be publishing out for to bigger brains as well. So got to develop those, and I'll be doing some recording of those in October. So September is a big month of me getting ready for October, right. It turns out. How about you?
That's great. So so I've got an event the end of the month, one of the Mastermind Lives in Tampa. I'm looking forward to that. We've got great topics like mergers and acquisitions, valuation, a lot of lead gen. I think we've got four sessions on AI and how to monetize that in your business, how to market that, and then some cybersecurity in there as well. So it'll be a great conference. If anybody's interested in that, just reach out to james@kernanconsulting.com. And I've just started working on my latest book, my fifth one, How to Sell Your MSP. Obviously M&A is really hot right now, and I've been working on it, but I enjoy writing when I have the time to do that. It's one of my sip my coffee and get that creative side of my brain going. So started working on my book and hope to have it wrapped up by the end of the year.
Nice. A book is something I've never done, but it's kind of on my bucket list that I should do that someday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's a wrap for today. So thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on the SMB Community Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.